Well, 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 welcome to our church. How are we doing this morning? Good to see everybody. Those watching online in our overflow spaces, welcome to Zayo. We're glad you're here this morning. It's a beautiful day, and you guys are talkative. You guys must like the people next to you. All right. And if you don't, there's nowhere else to go. I mean, that's all we got. Well, a few things I want to just talk about, and then we'll jump into the message. First thing is this. This Thursday is our annual Trunk or Treat. It's our outreach into the community, and so we're inviting you to be a part of that. You know, we were joking before the service about with our community, we should not call it Trunk or Treat. We should call it Truck Bed or Treat. And so if you got a truck bed or a trunk, we'd love to have you help us. You know, most of the time you can be in a church like ours and they go, oh, they probably got that covered. I'll just got to tell you, we don't have this one covered, okay? So we need more trunks. I think we're at like 17, I think. And so we would like to get a few more trunks or else it'll be a very lame trunk or treat. We need your help. We need our church to help us in this. Come and it's a great, it is one of those events. It's a great outreach to the community. The community comes and they come and they trunk or treat, and it is fun, and so invite you to come, be a part of it, but if you can, we're asking for your help to sponsor and just to do a trunk and get involved there, but that would be fun. That's this Thursday, and now I want to talk about the For the Kingdom campaign. This is the giving season for us this year. We do this every year, okay, so this is something we do every single year. Come to the church and bring a giving opportunity, and so we could talk through that. So we are in a For the Kingdom campaign. As you guys know, we are maxed out, and we're growing every service. It's just absolutely incredible. It's so honoring. It's so amazing to see what God is doing here. We are, as you guys know, we purchased land just a few miles down the road, and we are gearing up to start building on that, and we've been in design and all these great things. And just to kind of, you can kind of see it up here, the renderings. If you haven't seen them before, I'd love to show them to you. But we're building 50,000 square feet, three separate buildings, 1,000-seat auditorium, a cafe that will be used throughout the week, a preschool that will be used during the week as well. We're very excited about what God is doing, and we can't wait for that to happen because we know that we are maxed out here. So we've called the church to a campaign to help us raise money for this. And just to revisit those numbers, as of October this month, we have raised a little over $6 million. And honestly, that can never get old, okay? That is just an amazing number. I was with a pastor friend this week, actually. He pastors a big church in Austin. They got multiple campuses. He said, well, how's your campaign doing? I said, well, our church, we have over $6 million in commitments. He was blown away. He goes, man, I've done lots of campaigns. I've never seen that kind of money. So I know that this is a move of God. It's something special. And you are very generous, church. So thank you so much. So of that 3 million, or out of that 6 million, we've received a little over 3 million. And so what we're doing, this was a 3-year campaign. We're taking it one more year to finish out the campaign, finish it strong. And so we're asking you to get involved. Whether you've been involved or you have not been involved, we're asking everybody to get involved. So if you can, you can kind of see that commitment card in the seat back pocket in front of you. Let me just show you how to fill this out. I even had questions even today from people who have been hearing me every week. So maybe I'm not doing a great job explaining this. Let me do a better job. Okay, so the top two boxes are for those of you guys who have made a commitment and have not fulfilled that commitment, okay? So if you made a commitment within our past 3 years, we're asking you to let us know what that commitment is, and that box below it, just let us know how much you have remaining on your commitment that you intend to fulfill, all right? So that's if you've not fulfilled your commitment yet. We want to know where you're at on that so we can kind of gauge how much of that $6 million we should be receiving. For everybody else, if you have not made a commitment to the campaign, or if you are like me, I've already fulfilled my 3-year commitment. You can make, and we're asking everybody who has either fulfilled their commitment or has not made a commitment, fill out this bottom box. That is just a 1-year commitment, okay? So we will make another commitment, just a 1-year commitment. And by the way, we do this every year, okay? So even when this campaign is done, it'll move to the legacy offering. We just ask the church, give the church an opportunity to be generous over and above your tithe, a 1-year commitment. So that bottom box is if you have already fulfilled your commitment and you just want to make a 1-year commitment, or if you have not made a commitment yet, we're just asking you to make a 1-year commitment towards this giving campaign. I hope I did a better job there, okay? Now, No, that's fine. I didn't feel that from you, and I'm just going to keep going, okay? So we're not asking you to fill this out today because we want God to speak to you about this. We do not want you just to let us know what you think you can do and then either make a big mistake or not be able to fulfill it. So we're asking you to take these home, pray over it. We've been talking about this for the past 3 weeks. Next Sunday is Commitment Sunday. Next Sunday, we're asking you to bring your commitment cards. Hopefully, you've prayed about it. You're ready to turn that in. We'll turn these in at the beginning of service, and we'll pray over them, and that's Commitment Sunday. And also, I am so excited to tell you about what's next, okay? We weren't prepared to tell you a few weeks ago at Vision Sunday, so this is going to be Vision Sunday 2.0. I am now prepared and ready to tell you what is next for us at Zao Church, where we're going to be going next once we're done with this, and some progress updates on the build. So I'm very excited about that. I can't wait to tell you more about that. And by the way, part of this is, did you see the new portable outside for our kids ministry? We got a portable finally, a second portable for us because y'all have a lot of kids, and we gotta find somewhere for them. I think they say that we have 8 to 10 new kids every single Sunday, and a praise report. Praise report is this: last Sunday, y'all, we had 17 children salvations in kids ministry. 17 salvations. Pretty amazing. So there's some things we're gonna be doing here as well. I'll tell you about next week. But very excited about what God's doing here, and honored to be a part of it. So that's for the kingdom. All right. All right. Y'all ready to jump into the word today? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? It's like Pastor Mark set me up. I better not let you down. All right. There we go. The pressure's on. Today we are in a week three of this series that I've called Faithful and Fruitful. I'm excited about this series because I believe this series can have a great impact on your life, but only if you let it. I really believe this series has the power to transform your life in so many areas, not just financially, but also spiritually, emotionally, and generationally. And as always, going through a series like this that has the transformation power that it has, it's easy to dismiss it. What I want to teach you through this series, I believe, can transform your life. I know it, but so does the enemy. And the enemy is going to do all that he can to turn your attention away. Listen, the enemy doesn't care if you come to church. He just doesn't want you to change in church. So don't shake off this series. Don't dismiss this series. Don't allow the enemy to lead you to a place of offense. You got to press in and receive. And let me say this, I don't want anything from you. I only want something for you. And what do I want for you? I want you to be faithful and fruitful. That's what I want for your life. Because the Bible is very clear. Those two go hand in hand. Biblically, when you are faithful, you can't help it but be fruitful. So let me give the theme verse for this series. It's Matthew 25, 21. It says this. This is what I want for every single one of us. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. First thing I want to point out is that we're all servants. Some of us think we're greater than servants. No, we're just servants, servants to the King. But notice what happens when you are faithful. You then become fruitful. This is the words of Jesus. When you are faithful with the little bit that you have, you then will be given more. That is kingdom math right there. However, the opposite is true as well. When you are not faithful with what you have, you will not be given more. In fact, the Bible's pretty clear. What you do have will be taken away from you. When you are faithful, you then are fruitful. The world says this: if you want more, work harder, work for more. Jesus says, if you want more, steward what you already have. This is a series on stewardship. Because in the kingdom, promotion always follows faithfulness. And that's the heart of the series. How do we become faithful so we can ensure ourselves to be fruitful? You know, I've never met anyone who didn't want to be more fruitful. Like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm tapped out, you know? No, everybody I've ever met would like to be more blessed. But in order to get what we want and what we desire, it's not about working harder or smarter. It's about being faithful. That's the key ingredient. To being fruitful, you got to be faithful. So in week one, a little recap, I hit on that second part of our theme verse, you have been faithful over a little. We talked about what it looks like to be faithful with little. We used this one verse, I hope you remembered it. It's Ecclesiastes 4:6. I only use one passage. This message better is one handful with tranquility. than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. We talked about cutting back, clearing out, paying off, and loving Skittles. We talked about that. Now, last week, Pastor Jess, our overseer, was here, and Pastor Jess did such a great job. Did y'all enjoy the message from Pastor Jess, one of our overseers, last week? He talked about Jesus coming to the fishermen as they're in their boats, not being able to catch fish all day, all night. And he said, lower your nets. They in faith, lowered their nets, and they hauled in the greatest amount of fish they'd ever seen. You see, there's something about being faithful when Jesus asks you to do something. And when you do what Jesus has asked you to do, he always rewards your faithfulness. You are fruitful when you are faithful. And Jess challenged us. We are not building a building to be a big church or to do something big like that. We're not doing that. We are being faithful unto God, and we lower our nets. He's asked us to lower our nets. We lower our nets. And today in week three, I'm going to talk about being fruitful when you are faithful. Today I want to talk about this concept. It is a blessing to give. It is a blessing to give. Here's the theme verse for today, Acts 20:35. And you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he says this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The title of this morning's message is More Blessed. Anybody want to be more blessed in here? More blessed. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word you want to drop in our hearts today, God. Lord, may the enemy be far from us today, because the enemy would want to distract us, would want us to walk away, be offended. But Lord, I just pray that we'd receive the words of your scriptures today. Holy Spirit, speak to us in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. 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 Did you know that in the average church, only 5 to 10% of Christians tithe faithfully? 5 to 10% Christians tithe faithfully. Yet those same studies show that if every believer tithed, that there would be more than $165 billion released into the kingdom every single year. That's enough money to feed every hungry child on earth, provide clean water for every person on the planet, and fully fund 100,000 new missionaries. You see, faithfulness always multiplies fruitfulness. Today, I want to talk about the blessing of giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, just looking at that scripture right there, I just want you to notice that it is more blessed to give, but it's still a blessing to receive. Anybody else want to be blessed by receiving something? We all love to receive something, right? But it is more blessed to give. And we all have given, we all have received. You know, I think about from my life, I love to receive, but honestly, I love to give more. And we all have had that moment at Christmas time, maybe not the kids in the room, but the parents for sure. It's fun to receive a gift, man, but it's way more fun to give a gift, right? And to see the reaction and see the blessing on somebody else's face. Does anybody want to receive something? I just want to bless somebody. I want to give somebody something. I just want to be a blessing. Oh, it's more blessed to give, y'all. I'm going to give. Bless you, brother. I don't know. Because you looked at me. That was for me, y'all. This is more blessed to give than to receive. It is a blessing to give. I want to tell you about two moments in my life. One where I received and one where I gave. First was about 10 years ago. I was working at a church. I've always been on a church staff, and they promoted me. They moved me to a new campus to help start a new campus for our church, and that's actually where I first met Pastor Dustin. And they paid for our moving costs, but obviously they didn't help with our home, and we had to sell a home and buy a new home, and obviously that has costs associated to it. I was a young adult pastor at the time, and this lady came up to me, and I remember the puzzled look on her face. I think she maybe didn't want to do this, but she's like, you know, the Lord, you know, I just remember her face. She's like, the Lord told me I'm to give you $10,000 to help with your down payment on your house. It's amazing. yes and amen, you know, like, are you sure it's only 10,000? You know, it's like, go back and pray about that, you know. Man, I'd never had that happen to me before, never had it since. But amazing, amazing moment, right? Just like, wow, thank God, what an amazing moment. Rewind about 5 years before that, Al and I were in a small group at our church. And family in our small group were having their first baby. And there were complications with this baby. And the mom had to go in every single week to get shots injected in her stomach and had to get sonograms. And now we were in ministry and so were they, and neither of us had much money. Man, but they had a baby on the way. They had costs associated to that. We were newlyweds. We didn't have much responsibility at the time just to stay alive. But I felt God speak to us and tell us, you need to pay for their doctor visits. Now, remember, we're on a ministry salary. I mean, new ministry salary. He was making $30,000 a year. Big time money, y'all. Big time money. We didn't have much. But I felt the Lord speak to us and say, you need to pay for their doctor visits. So for us, that's a big sacrifice. We saved up a couple thousand dollars, and we covered their doctor visits for the rest of the pregnancy. And can I tell you, to this day, I think about that. That feels way better than receiving $10,000. Yeah. Way better. Yeah. Why? Because Scripture tells us it is more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says this, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Sounds great. And through us, your generosity, watch this, I love this scripture. Your generosity will result in somebody thanking God. Your generosity causes someone to go, God, thank you for this place. Yeah. I think about this build. Like, it's going to be expensive, and there's so much that goes into it. Listen, we're not building a building to build a building, right? Like, you guys have given sacrificially. You're not giving just because you're really motivated by our speech. That's not it. You're giving because the Lord has told you to. You are being faithful. And let me tell you, because of your faithfulness, somebody is going to thank God. Somebody is going to come to that new building, going to receive Christ. Generations will be changed. Grandchildren will be saying, and I just thank God that somebody built this place, because now my family and generations are changed forever. I mean that wholeheartedly. Like, that's what keeps me going. So I have a question. If we know that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, then why don't we give? Statistically, why is it only that 10% of us are giving? I mean, I want to be blessed, but in order to be blessed, the Bible's pretty clear, I need to give. So if it's more blessed to give, here's the thought. Man, God, I want to be better at giving. I want to ensure that I give. Because here's the truth. Giving isn't just what we do. Giving is who we are. Let me tell you why. Because we serve a generous God who created you. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave. And love gives, selfishness takes. So I just have an honest question for you. Based upon your relationship with money, are you more loving or selfish? Based upon your relationship with money, are you a giver or a taker? It's an honest question. Because when you give, you look most like your Father in heaven. You're never more like God than when you give. So why don't we give? Why is it so hard to give? Why are some of us welling up with a fence right now going, I can't believe that pastor is talking about this. I knew Zal Church was like that, right? Like, he just wants my money to go buy a plane. That's exactly what I'm after, right? Why is it so hard for us to give? I'm going to tell you three quick reasons why, I think. First, I don't think we give because we feel like we don't have enough. Individually, we just feel like we don't have enough. I mean, Pastor, I'd love to do more. Everything you're saying sounds great, man, but I'm just struggling myself. How do you expect me to survive? You know, what I have is already accounted for. It's already spoken for. I just can't afford it. Like, I want to be faithful and I want to honor God, but I can't afford it. I hear that so much. I can't afford to tithe. Well, I would be honest and tell you, I believe you can't afford not to tithe. Second, an excuse we hear and a reason we have is I don't think we give because many of us have seen messages like this abused in the past in churches. And we've all seen the televangelists with a full suit and slick back hair yelling and screaming at the TV, demanding for seeds to be planted, right? And money to be given. Or I love this one. Recently, a pastor went viral. That's what I do in my spare time. I just watch church fails. It's awesome. There's a pastor who went viral for telling the ushers to close the doors until he raised the money he needed to raise. So at this time, Mark, I would love for you to just... Golly, man. They obviously are not in Texas because people be shooting their way out of that church. All right. Third, I don't think we give because this is probably the biggest one, because we have a scarcity mindset opposed to having an abundance mindset. Like, Pastor, if I give, that means that I have less. And what if something comes up and I need money and I don't have money? That's a scarcity mindset. And can I be honest and tell you, as your pastor, if this is you, I wonder if you trust in God more or yourself more. We got to have this abundant mindset. Abundant mindset is you on the cattle on a thousand hills. I have more than enough. I am blessed to be a blessing, not blessed just to keep and hoard for myself. God, you take care of me. I trust in you. For me, that was my struggle. I needed more to give, which is a silly mindset. But the question that I was asked that really helped me, and I'd like to ask this of you today, if this is what you struggle with. If you need more, let me ask you an honest question. How much more do you need before you can give? If that's you just saying, man, I just need more before I can give. What is that number? Is it 1,000? Is it 10,000? Because I would argue that it's not about how much you have. It's about the mindset you have. These are mindsets that keep us from living out the promises of God. But we know, according to Scripture, it is more blessed to give. So what do? Because culture has taught us one way, we got to let the Bible retrain our minds. Here's the truth. Whenever we give, we are always a blessing. And whenever we give, we will always be blessed. That is the promise of Scripture. Proverbs 11:24 says this, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger," and I've seen it, "but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Listen, I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. This is not a give to get or a prosperity gospel message. We only believe in one gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? We don't give to get, but the Bible is clear that when you give, we just read it, you are abundantly blessed. Meaning this, you can't give and not get. I want you to know, God wants you to be abundantly blessed. That's what he wants for you. We just read it. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he knows that you will go and be a blessing yourselves. So if it is more blessed to give, then I want to get better at giving. So today I want to give you three principles that will help us all get better at giving, because it's blessed to give. Three ways to shift from a scarcity mindset to an abundant mindset, a kingdom mindset. No matter where you're at today with Jesus, I'm asking for you to take a next step. And let me just tell you this. This is basic fundamental disciplines of the faith. This is in the category of praying and serving and reading your Bible, giving. So let's talk about that today. So three principles. First one is this. We're going to honor God with the tithe. This is basic. We're going to honor God with the tithe. This is the starting place with God and money, the tithe. So where do we get the tithe? What does the tithe even mean? The word tithe comes from a Hebrew word, maaser, and it literally means a tenth. And the designation is it's not just a tenth, it's the first tenth. It's the first tenth. Let me show you a scripture with the tithe. Leviticus 27:30 says this, "One-tenth," there it is, the tithe, "of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs somewhere, belongs to the Lord, and it must be set apart to him, because it's holy." So let's just talk about that scripture real quick. The first thing is that one-tenth word. This is a portion. And this is the tithe. This is one-tenth, and here's what the one-tenth is of the increase. It's of the income, the increase. So if you get paid $1,000, this is referring to the first $100. That's the tithe. Well, what about the tithe? It belongs to somebody. This is about ownership. The tithe, the first 10% of your earnings, who does it belong to? It belongs to God. Why? Because it is holy. So let me ask you a question. If the tithe belongs to God, what happens to those of us who refuse to honor God with the tithe? The Bible's very clear that the tithe is God's and is to be returned back to God. You see, the tithe is not just a gift to God. It's not like, God, here, let me help you out and throw you some money. It's God's gift returned back to him. You don't give a tithe, you can only return a tithe. Like if I borrowed your truck and I gave you back the keys, I said, John, here are the keys back. I'm not saying let me give you a gift. No, I'm saying let me return to you what is already yours. That's the tithe. And that which I give my tithe to is what I call holy, because the tithe is holy. So that which you give your first 10% to, you are deeming that to be holy. Malachi 3:7-9 says, return to me. There it is again. We're going to return the tithe, and I'm going to return back to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, well, how? How are you going to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? Strong language. But you ask, well, God, how am I robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. Therefore, because you rob me of the tithes and offerings, this is the Bible, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. You see, when we return to God what belongs to him, he promises to return to us what we could never achieve or earn on our own. But when we withhold what is his, we block the very blessing God wants to pour out on our life. This is why I love to talk about tithing and money in the church, because God wants to do something amazing in our life, but we're blocking it. When we refuse to return to God what belongs to him, we place ourselves, the Bible just said it, under a curse. According to this scripture, and according to the statistic I just read, 90% of the church is living under a curse. Now, that might sound wrong or evil, but I'm just reading the Bible to you. And if that offends you, you might be under a curse already. Truthfully, let me just speak to the people, the business people for a second. This is a great deal, okay? May I present to you the tithe? This is a great deal, okay? Many people say, well, why do I have to tithe? God doesn't need my money. They're just gonna abuse it. Okay, listen. First of all, that's you trying to argue your way out of a principle of scripture. And here's what I would say. I've never tried to figure out how to give God less. So a lot of people like to argue, well, is the tithe, you know, pre-tax, post-tax, I got a bonus, is that a tithe? Like, you're trying to argue how to give God less. Let me just, okay. This is the deal. God says, hey, I love you so much, I want to bless you with more. So I want to bless you with the 90%. I'm going to put a blessing over that 90%. I'm going to rebuke the devourer on your behalf. You're going to be able to keep that 90%. I'm going to bless your life. But here's the deal. You need to trust me with the first 10%. That's the deal. You got to return to me the 10%. And if you do, I'm going to bless the 90. So the way that I see it is this. You can have 90% blessed, or you can keep 100%, but it's cursed. Here's what he wants to know. This is the whole point of money. Do you trust me? No, God, I need all 100%. I got a lot of bills to pay. I got sports to do. I got vacations to play. I got so much to do, God. And God's saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? It's not about greed. It's about trust. God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And the greatest test of the heart is, what do we do with what's in our hand? The greatest test of the heart is, what am I going to do with that which I'm holding on to? Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Your heart always follows your money. Man, you can pray all day, Lord, be first in my life, I worship you alone. But if God is last in your finances, he's not first in your life. Tithing says, God, you are first. It's not about math. It's about honor. God, I honor you and I trust you. You are first. It's a thing of worship. I worship you with my first fruits. You give to the level that you acknowledge God to be the Lord of your life. Where's God on your priority list? Based upon your tithe, is he first? Because if he's not first, he's not a priority. And by the way, there are some things God can't do, one of which is he can't be second. Why? Because if he could get better, he would already be better. But he can't get better because he's best. There are some things that God cannot do. I know that might mess with your theology a little bit, but he can't come second place in your life. He will only be first. And to some people, they go, man, this is crazy. This is crazy talk. I got to pray. I got to give. I got to serve. I got to read my Bible. How this is just like attending church and checking a box and voting for Trump. I got that. That was it. Like, that's all I got to do. Getting to heaven. Well, I would say this. This is a crazy thought. You don't have to give. You get to give. Change your thing. We're retraining our minds here with the Bible. Malachi continues. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Okay, there it is. Again, the tithe. That's 10% increase into the storehouse. By the way, the storehouse is a picture of the local church. It's not a nonprofit or a missionary you support or a really good cause. The storehouse is the church. That there may be food in my house. I love this. What you're receiving today is spiritual steak, I promise you. And the reason we are able to present spiritual steak to you is because people have given here. Their generosity and their faithfulness has provided a meal for you today and every single week. There's food in this house. He says this wild thing. It says, test me. Just try me out on this one. And see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. It's the only place in the entire Bible God invites you to test him is in the area of the tithe and the finances. See, when you honor God with the tithe, he will pour out so much blessing on your life where you're going to go, God, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. You've provided for me. I have enough. I'm good. Test me. Why do you think this is the one area where God invites you to test him? I think because this is the greatest indicator of what's truly in your heart. If there was another indicator, I promise you God would use that. But there isn't. Finances and money is the greatest indicator to discover what's truly in your heart. But why? Because your heart and your wallet are connected. So that's the commandment of God, to honor God with the tithe by bringing 10% into the local church, the first 10%. To which many people would say, Pastor, there's no way I can do this. Hold on, whoa. Okay, Pastor, okay. In order to do this, I would have to reorder my entire life to fit around God. Is that what you're saying? Let's let that sit for a second. You mean I gotta change the way that I live and things that I do to put God at the center? That's exactly what I'm saying. If we do this in every other area of our life, kids' sports, you think that's in the budget? No, we make it a part of the budget, right? Like, you know, you have to pay for the team, you got to pay for the jerseys, you got to pay for the, they don't give anything free anymore. I'm pretty sure when I was a young kid in rec, they gave you a soccer ball, right? It's like now it's like you have to pay for absolutely everything. And what do? You make room for it. A gym membership. January's coming up. You go, man, I'm fat. I can lose a few pounds. I need to spend some money on food. I need to join HCI. I gotta get into shape. What do? You make room for it in your budget. A vacation, you're tired. You need a break. You make room for it in the budget. We do this with everything else. So for me, tithing was tough in the beginning because I didn't have much. And there was a lot that I needed. But the Lord spoke something to me so clearly, and I've been tithing ever since. He said this, I want to pass it on to you today. He said this, if you honor me with the tithe, you may be in want, but you'll never be in need. You may be in want, but you'll never be in need. And listen, I've been tithing now faithfully for over 200 years. I've never missed a tithe. And listen, Listen, I have never been in need. I've never been in need. God has always provided for me and my family. I'm telling you, I have made some huge mistakes, okay? I think about this, though. I've never missed a tithe. God's always taken care of me. He's always provided for me. And he wants to do the same for you. You see, when you test God with the tithe, he will prove himself faithful in your life. He's looking to prove himself faithful in your life. That's why I don't have to tithe. I get to tithe. God, please be faithful in my life. I'm giving you an opportunity. Tithing isn't about your bank account. It's about what's in your heart. And if you're waiting until you have enough to tithe, I promise you, you'll never start tithing. Because the tithe doesn't follow abundance. Tithe follows obedience. So God, I'll worship you with my first and my best, and I'm going to trust you to bless me with the rest. I'm gonna trust you with the first and the best, and I just know you're gonna take care of the rest. Honor God with the tithe. Here's a second principle. Plan on being generous. It's a stewardship message. There's gotta be a plan. If you wanna live a more blessed life, you can't just wish to be generous. You gotta plan to be generous. Now, I don't know about you, but for me in my house, we actually have to plan out our spending, okay? We actually have to budget it. We just have to. I know my wife loves the budget conversations, absolutely loves it. But we have to have a plan, and then we do what the plan says to do. Maybe some of you guys struggle in this. Anybody else have married to a Target and Chick-fil-A anointed spouse? Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. We got to plan this stuff out. You plan the budget. If you're like us, you plan the budget, and somehow there's always a mysterious miscellaneous category that pops up, something that has to take place, right? Allie and I, we sit down the first of the month. She loves these meetings. These are our budget meetings. I call her into my office and everything, you know? But we have to do this. And I'm sorry if this is like fundamental for you. This is budgeting 101. But we have to plan for the kids' sports, the birthday parties, the doctor visits, hair and nails for me. Obviously, I'm very high maintenance, okay? Our house projects. We create a plan, and then we budget around that plan. Why? Because we know if we don't tell our money where to go, it will tell us where it went. Just happens that way. So here's the question. If we plan our spending, why wouldn't we plan our giving? We plan vacations. We plan our weekends. We plan our meals. We even plan our Amazon deliveries, right? We plan everything. Why wouldn't we plan our generosity? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. So why don't we come up with a plan on how to give? Isaiah 32:8 says this, but generous people, they create a plan to do what is generous. And they stand firm in their generosity. Looking at generous people, here's what I've learned. Generosity doesn't just happen, it's intentional. Generous people don't allow their income to dictate their giving. Generous people don't wait for a moment or a feeling or emotion. They create the moment. They don't give based upon how they feel. They give based upon who they are. They are generous because giving isn't something that they do. Generous is who they are. Now listen, tithing is what we're expected to do. This is obedience. But generosity is what we get to do as an overflow, to be a blessing to others. Tithing says, God, you are first. Generosity says, God, you can trust me with more. I will be faithful with what you've given me. Generosity goes beyond the rules and the steps of the relationship. It says, I don't give because I have to. I give because I want to. That's why the most generous people I know aren't the wealthiest. They are the most willing. This blows me away. I know several people who don't even have a consistent paycheck, but they continue to give faithfully. Why? Because their giving isn't connected to their income. It's connected to their identity. Listen, you can't stumble into generosity by accident. You got to plan it. You got to budget it. You got to say, this month, before I spend on me, I'm going to spend on somebody else. I'm going to be generous. So maybe the challenge for the week is this. Don't just plan your bills and your ball games. Plan to be a blessing to others. If you're going to be generous, you got to come up with a plan to be generous. Why? Because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We're going to honor God with the tithe. We're going to plan on being generous. And here's the final one right here. It's the call to action. We're going to begin giving today. I think there is one thing above anything else that's required if you're going to truly follow Jesus. And here it is right here. You got to be obedient. Got to be obedient. Faith is not about what you feel, it's about what you do. So when's the best time to start giving? Let me just tell you right now, today. Why? You got to catch me on this one. Why can't it be later? Why can't it be when I make more money, when I have something to give? Listen, delayed obedience is still disobedience. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. In fact, Paul told Philemon this in Philemon 1:6, and I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Can we just take a moment and acknowledge that God has given all of us so much? There was so much for us to be thankful for. And the only reasonable response for us who have been given so much is to give in return. I just believe it's time to put our generosity into action. Paul says, put it into action. That's what we need to do. Don't just feel generous. Be generous. Don't just think about giving, start giving. And the danger of a message like this is go, man, I feel the prompt of the Holy Spirit. I think I should do this. And then you do nothing at all. It's like standing in the garage wishing you're a car. It makes no difference. The Bible actually gives a parable about that. God's planting these seeds, and it falls on stone. The enemy comes and picks it away. We did nothing with it. Generosity isn't about what's in your wallet. It's about what's in your heart. That's why I want to preach on it. I got no problem preaching on this. Because God wants your heart. He don't want your money. You don't need to wait till you have more to give. You start with what you have today. Here's a principle. If you can't be faithful with $10, you will never be stewarding $10,000. God won't trust you with it. Generosity isn't built on income. Here's what it's built on. Intentional obedience. It's time for us to be intentionally obedient. So maybe for some of you, the next step is to start tithing today. For others, maybe you've been tithing. God's calling you into a place of generosity to begin to look for places over and above your tithe to be a blessing. But for all of us, it starts with intentional obedience. Obedient today. I'm not waiting until it's easier. I'm not waiting until I have more. I'm going to trust God with what I have right now. I'm going to put my faith into action. Why? Because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I recently heard a story about a farmer who would always give his best seed away to his neighbors. People said, man, you're crazy. Why would you give away your best seed to the people around you? You're crazy. You're not going to have enough. But every year he had the best crops. Someone finally asked him, and how is that even possible? You give away your best seed to your neighbor. How is that even possible? And he said this. He said, when the wind blows, my neighbor's fields cross-pollinate with mine. So if they are blessed, I am blessed. That's what generosity does. When you bless others, it always finds a way back to you. So as we close today, I just want you to hear in my heart, this isn't about money. This is about you. This is about your heart. Do you trust God? You can say you trust God all day, but if you don't trust him with your finances, he is last in your life. Because giving is never about the size of the gift. It's about the size of your heart and how much you trust him. Jesus said, you are more blessed to give than to receive. And that means when you give, you step into the blessed life, the faithful life, the fruitful life. So I want to challenge you with this. Don't just believe in generosity. Be generous today. If you've never tithed before, start today. If you've been holding back, trust God today. If you've been blessed, now bless others to be a blessing. Because when you are faithful, you then become fruitful. And when you are generous, you'll live more blessed. Can I pray for you? I just want you to take a minute and ask the Holy Spirit what he's speaking to you through this message. I believe he wants to say something to you, whisper something to your spirit. There is a call to action. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? And just take a moment. Let him speak to you. See what he says. Father, I just know in a message like this, the enemy is going to want to distract us, convince us to be selfish, well up a fence within our hearts. But Lord, I just pray, God, that you would keep the enemy far from us in this moment especially, so that we can receive what you want to give us. Because according to that statistic, according to that scripture, 90% of the church is living under a curse. And God, I want to pastor a church that is blessed and not cursed. I want to pastor a generous church, not a stingy church. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Lord, I am convinced that you are doing something special here at Zayo. And it's because of the hearts of the people of this church. Lord, I just pray that we'd continue to be men and women who want to do what you want us to do, to steward kingdom resources, to be a blessing, to expand the kingdom of God here in Lake Travis. So Lord, I thank you for this message. Thank you for the blessing you want to put on us. And I just want to close and pray for those who have never made a decision for Jesus, never given their hearts, committed their hearts to following after God. If that's you today, I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. If you want to begin a relationship with Jesus today, right where you're at, pray this to God. Say, God, today I receive you. Receive your son, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus. You gave. I receive that today. Change me and make me new, God. I'm going to follow you from this day forward. Today, I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Can we clap and celebrate those who prayed their prayer?